Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
You know, I don't miss many meals, so we're trying to get a little local lunch. And then, you know, but I like to get a local flavor because I think the local flavor for the food gives you some talking points with some of the coaches and something you can talk about beyond just like, you know, hey, you know, how's this guy and how tall is he and how fast is he? You say, hey, where can I get lunch today? So, you know, working that into the day, making a day out of that area to me is, you know, what we do. And it makes it more fun, but I think it's part of the whole process of figuring out the area, the coaches, the players.
That was special teams coach Ed Foley over in Lincoln yesterday at a press conference. Terrence Knighton also spoke. We'll get into that in a moment. It's Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hale Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. Damon Benning, Andrew Rogers, which Damon looks dapper today. I don't know if anybody else is watching on YouTube or Twitter right now, but he's got what looks to be a jacket that kind of gives trench coat vibes, and the hoodie underneath, but the color of the hoodie I'm really digging.
Cream.
Coffee. And
cream. Coffee.
Cream. Oh, I thought you were just wearing the black and white for coffee and cream.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know.
Why do you look so good?
You're
making me look like a bum over here. They just pulled me off the street.
The 32-and-a-half-year-old carpenter that lived a life for others. Bless me, coming out of the womb. I don't know. Why do you look so good? What?
Did you just pull out something new in the closet? Like, is this a Christmas outfit that you forgot about for the last month?
I don't remember getting – well, maybe I did get a couple of things for Christmas that were clothes, but I'm not really that dude. Sometimes you just wake up and you're like, whatever.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
So. Well, you're wearing jeans, too. You're not a jeans guy.
No.
Well, I don't normally see you in jeans,
no.
I should say.
Well, you see me at 6 a.m. in the morning, so –
That is
a lot of things you probably don't see,
but I've also seen you coach at night, and you're also wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, well, we have to wear black pants, and I'm not a black jeans kind of guy, and I wouldn't coach in jeans. So
they're asking you to.
So I'm giving you a frame of reference for you don't see me in jeans.
So you're jeans middle of the day.
I'm jeans whenever the flip I feel like it. How we got on my wardrobe this early in the morning,
I like it,
is very Andrew Rogers.
I like it.
I mean, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
No, I pay attention.
You pay attention to your Blues last night?
Did I watch the Blues last night? Let me see how many NHL games that were on TV last night.
One.
So yes, I watched my Blues cough up a 1-0 lead. Then it was 1-1. Then it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And then it was 4-2. I don't know.
It's kind of
blank, and it's 4-2.
Does
the
NHL
lose.
Seem kind of spurty this year?
It
seems to be a year of a lot of unanswered goals.
You know,
dude, they just go on these little mini goal scoring runs,
and the Blues aren't one of them ever.
No,
ever. Now they don't really have a well put together team. If you look at their lines,
oh, here we go.
It's like
you do go
who's
two and
that
a half,
guy.
You do go 2.5 lines deep.
Who's that guy?
You need a checking line too, by the way. Not very physical.
No, Barbashev is probably the most physical member of the team, and he's on the second line.
Not to be confused with the stuff you shave with, right?
No, Barbasol is what that is.
One of those deals.
No, the Blues are not good, and I don't really feel like talking about them just yet. But we should talk NHL here later on in the show because Bobby Hull died yesterday.
Yeah.
Bo Horvat got traded yesterday. We can talk a lot about that. Because
what's Hull? He's 84?
84, and he's not the most well-liked individual in the sport.
Yeah, very, very intense. Is that? You don't want to dance on anybody's grave.
Let's just say people didn't like the way he carried himself.
Yeah.
Outside
of hockey.
Yeah. You know, there was something else that we talked about yesterday on the morning dump that we'll touch on today too, because I did a lot more research into those payouts for that new government bill.
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk a little bit on that. We'll talk to Aaron Torres at 8 o'clock. Notice how I'm setting up the show 5 minutes in.
Professional. Taxation without representation, man. I think that was part of a Shane, was that on like Saturday morning specials, like the whole I'm just a bill and conjunction, junction, what's your function
what's
and all
your
that?
Function?
Yeah.
It probably was.
What?
That is taxation without representation. And the little kid with like the little.
You're insane to remember that. What was that from? It was, I know the cartoon.
Schoolhouse Rock?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. I am insane.
You are absolutely nuts to know that. Like, yeah. Was Zoe watching that this morning?
No. So Zoe was asleep, upright, on the couch this morning in her blanket. She gets
like
up.
Just sitting?
Yeah, she gets up, you know, right as I'm getting out. So I start her bath water. And so I start her bedroom door open. And she kind of waits.
Is it like Pavlov's?
Pavlov?
Is it like Pavlov's? Like where...
When she hears the shower, she knows. No, but, you know, so, of course, we had to put on the little Spidey Man show because that's part of the routine. So, usually, she's just waiting.
The Amazing Spider-Man and Friends or something?
Yeah, but this time, she was just asleep between the crevices and the pillows, keeping her
upright. I've been there. Been there, done that.
And I gave her a kiss goodbye, and I was like, whew, you're too young for morning breath, kiddo. And she's like, eh.
She's like,
bad dad. Bad dad.
Blowing it in your face.
She has this great big old full head of hair. She looked like a baby lion.
What is going on there
in the background, Shane? Can you turn your volume down?
Shane, what are you doing over there?
I mean, seriously, what's going on? Dude,
was that a little better?
There was you.
He was throwing things around this morning like
were you listening to Cornhub podcast or something?
Did you say Cornhub?
Yes.
Thank God. I was just saying.
What'd you think I said, Drew Down?
I thought you said Bornhub.
Good morning.
Because we were talking about how you came out of the womb looking as dapper as you are.
Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Shane.
Shane's a little crabby.
We're talking
morning.
To Aaron Torres at 8 o'clock.
College basketball.
We'll also...
He'll get me so I'm not so crabby.
We'll continue that conversation with Scott Ritchie, Illinois men's basketball and football for the News Gazette. And then we'll end with Joel Lorenzi, our Creighton beat writer for the Omaha World Herald. But yesterday, DB, I was making some dinner while listening to a couple of coaches speak at Nebraska. And
Chaps and Foley?
I was making steak.
I made
a really nice steak on the stove. I don't have a grill just yet.
I made steak yesterday, too.
A little cilantro, a little thyme in the pan.
I like that. Did you get any rosemary?
A little rosemary in the pan as well.
Did she have a baby?
No.
This movie was traumatizing. I mean, we're talking about birth. I was just thinking of Rosemary's Baby. Sorry.
Although this steak was my baby because, oh, man, was it tasty.
Really?
Perfect, perfect medium rare.
So I had salmon on the smoker for... The youngins, which I started 90 minutes.
In the new edition.
For salmon. No, I outside.
No, I'm saying like the new addition to the youngins.
Yes.
Wasn't there a new face at the table?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, yes. So she's pleasant. She's fantastic. But anyway, in the skillet, I did a filet. So... Mm. I did not use rosemary because I'm not a rosemary guy, but there was a smashed shallot. There was the squeezable garlic, not the good stuff. I didn't feel like, you know, how they use the flat edge of the knife. And yeah, your boy wasn't doing that.
You don't master chef it.
But I did yesterday at the store grab some garlic parm butter discs. They were only like a quarter, so I got like three and dropped one in the skillet. And so I'm so I think I have the technique down. 3 and 3, hard sear. I get the sides. Then the oven is on 400. The skillet goes in the oven. Alexa, please set timer for 4 minutes. 4 minute timer. Would you like to name it? No, Alexa, just start the timer. That's how me and Alexa get down. Put the skillet in, and the steak was 129 temp. Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh.
Mm.
So I had some.
What is that on the scale?
Medium rare. So I had some old chimichurri. that I put in the back of the fridge to for longevity's sake, because I got it from here 2 weeks ago. Safe to say the chimichurri was no longer really in its prime natural good state. So I just went ahead and tossed that. I tossed the whole container too. You ever, are you a, what do you call them, Shane? Are you a Tupperware guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I swap out Tupperware about once a year. Do you know why?
Why?
Because if I can't find the lids, I'm not rummaging. So we're going to go ahead and start anew.
So you won't look through your bin of lids
nope.
to find the right lid.
No, because
you will resort to driving to the store, getting a new set.
It would be the best $6 I've ever spent, because I'm a man of principle, Andrew. All right, when you put away the Tupperware, it's not that hard. Lids should go on one side, Tupperware goes on the other. If it's a circle, stack the circles. If it's a square, stack the squares. That way, if I get a square Tupperware, I am looking for a square lid. I look over here, pull. Somehow over time, it gets away from us.
Is it you or other people?
Well, you know, if I'm talking, it's probably not me, but that's not neither here nor there. So we just start over.
That's insane to me. Why wouldn't you just search for the lid?
I don't know.
You're wasting more time.
Well, it only
by grabbing your keys.
So there'll be about three or four times a year while I'll rummage, but at some point I'm over it because I hate mismatch Tupperware.
Okay.
Is that just a little OCD?
A little.
Oh, pot meat kettle.
Okay.
Au contraire, mon frere.
Okay. But I won't drive to the store to get a brand new set of...
What did you season your steak with? Are you a kosher salt, pepper guy, a little garlic?
No,
Montreal?
So back when it was warm outside, I know it feels like a long time here in Omaha when it was warm, I went to the farmer's market, an old market.
Oh, good for you.
And I got some applewood seasoning from a local vendor.
Nice.
And I've just had that in my cabinet, so that's what I use. And it is tasty.
Really? So I'm on this, I'll try anything. My, whatever you call it, pantry of seasonings it's out of control. There's some things I forget I even have. But right now I'm on this buttery steakhouse thing. And I hit it with a little smoked salt, and that was it. I kept it simple. I don't like to do too much. The salmon had some Old Bay, some blackened Old Bay. And some pink salt. That was it. Low smoke, 180 for 90 minutes. And the temp held, even though it was zero out.
My mouth is salivating right now.
Yeah?
Right now.
So, you know, I told you I was going to Costco after the show
yep.
yesterday.
And I went to Fairway.
So, did you go to the one I told you?
The one off of Giles and what is that? 72nd?
I don't know, 77th, 76th.
Yeah, that's the one I went to.
It's sneaky nice in
it
there.
It is really nice. It reminds me of the one that I used to go to in Sioux City.
Really?
Yeah,
Sioux City's fine.
Well, so I messed up. I accidentally went to Family Fair first.
I do that all. Listen, for as much as I can recall, and all the other little dumb
right.
stuff, Rain Man.
The Rain Man.
Fairway and Family Fair appears to be a phenomenon for your boy, because I screw it up all the time.
Because you told
me. And they're by each other, too, by the way,
right,
over there.
They are. They're like 4 minutes away. But you told me that it was like a new look, and the fairways that I'm used to seeing, I'm like, oh, it's not like what it normally is. So my head was already tricking me when I pulled into the Family Fair parking lot, because I'm like, wow, this is a lot different.
You and Bushwick
I've never
Bill.
Seen a fairway just like this.
Your
like
mind
this.
Is playing tricks on you.
Yep, and I walked in, and I shopped, no joke, 15 minutes. I'm like going around.
Is that a long time for you?
I didn't have a lot in my cart at this time. I stopped by the greens to get the fresh cilantro, the fresh parsley.
Wow, you went big.
Oh, yeah. I'm big into the freshness.
That's cute.
And then I went... Thanks, I guess.
Is that how you keep the metabolism going in that nice felt shape of yours?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then I end with a bowl of ice cream. and then I went back to the meat market.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this doesn't look like Fairway. The selection wasn't very good. I'm looking at the salmon, and I'm like, this salmon looks like it got hit by a bus. And then I realized I am not in the right store.
It's Andrew Rogers looking, working on my endorsement for Family Fair.
I don't know if we're ever going to get them on this show after this. I'll tell you what, though.
What Ryan said, I just set off his Alexa timer.
Oh, did you?
I think he must. It must be audio, and so sometimes when
just
you
keep
say,
saying it.
Hey, Alexa, set timer for 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
Hey, Alexa, call Ryan a jerk.
I'm sorry. What is her answer now when you ask her, like, a hard question? I'm sorry.
Ridiculous.
No, that's probably not what Alexa says.
Wouldn't shock me, though.
She has some random answer.
Yeah, like, I can't answer that right now.
Hey, so you know I'm annoyed, right? Because I watched Enemy of the State when I was in high school, and I know that all of a sudden we'll have ads on our computer mm-hmm. with things that we talk
sure.
about. So do you realize I turn off Alexa until I need her?
That's weird. That's
yeah.
really weird.
Yeah.
So you unplug her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when I plug her back in, she's telling
but
me
I don't
that she's
hate
finding
that.
My Wi-Fi.
I don't hate that because there are so many conspiracy theories out there.
Well, have you ever looked at her and she's just like blinking at
yes.
you?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, hey, Alexa, yeah. And I ask
my
her.
My parents are probably like cheering
so
right
I ask,
now at home.
So I ask her. I say, Alexa, is there a message? No, but you do have 3 notifications. You have buying, like, and I'm like, why do you want to get my attention? Let's turn you off. Right?
Do you ever play the games that come with Alexa? Like
no.
Jeopardy, categories,
absolutely
things like
not.
That?
No.
You should. While you're cooking? Great time passing activity.
Well, you want me and Alexa to connect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and Alexa.
Me.
Just don't spend too much time with her.
Yeah. Sounds like one of those answers Jim Boeheim would give last night. Wowzer.
Good college basketball slate yesterday.
Kind of. For a small sample size
right.
of games, there were some really good games. And apparently, Drew Down, Texas must be better than I want to give them credit for. You don't want to like them, and they keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they're good.
And Baylor was looked at as a projected Final Four team.
I wish Baylor could find a way to get easier shots in the paint. They shoot a ton of jump shots. And we lost my All-American. I finally got the diagnosis. He's Mike Miles Jr. from TCU, who's mm-hmm. quietly having a very fantastic season, unless you're a hoops head, because you think TCU, and of course you think quarterbacks. But I was thinking TCU and thinking hoops. Detroit Red, that's what I like to call him sometimes.
Is Dylan Mitchell, I'm going back to Texas here, is Dylan Mitchell overhyped? Or is he just still young?
I think he's young, but he had the 3 plays in the row and the broadcast went crazy. You know, he had the putback dunk and then he had the nice pass. Like,
and you would have thought he ended.
No, I know, with like 20.
15 to 20 points.
Yeah. I mean,
he ended with what, 4?
I get it. You know, like, but
all about hyping the kid up. But I mean, all season long, it's been NBA scouts are in the seats to watch Dylan Mitchell. He was the 3rd best recruit coming out.
So the dude is George, though. Keontae George mm-hmm. for Baylor. Like, that's Micah's guy. So we had to, of course, tune into that. And he's like, you know, we arrived at yesterday. You want to be good enough at a sport where you don't have to worry about getting your hair mm-hmm. cut. Apparently, like, when you're younger, you want to, like, look good, play good, mm-hmm. so you go get a haircut. But apparently, he's noticed the older you get, they don't worry about getting haircuts. Because he went down the rabbit hole yesterday of an old back and forth between Shaq and Kevin Durant, where Kevin Durant tweeted at Shaq, like, Shaq, you know ball? And Shaq clapped back, no, but I do know when to get a barber, brush my hair, and get a hairline. And I was like, wow.
A lot of people clapping back.
We're back
lately.
Dude, the pro on pro crime is fantastic.
They're on top of each other.
I wish like fans would like just kind of tune in and see their perspective, cuz that's kind of usually how I feel. Like LeSean McCoy yesterday on what's the show now? I don't even know what it is. It changes names.
There's so many sports shows. Is it Speak
for Uracho or Goodbye Wiley or like what is that show anymore with Joey and Acho, who drives me bonkers. By the way, he went back to the like old school haircut part. Oh my goodness. So, and McCoy was like, they were going back and forth, and Acho was trying to like vouch for Osai, and McCoy's like, no. Like, did you see Mike Hilton pull up? Mike Hilton pulled up.
Oh yeah.
Osai, you have to know better. He was 2 feet out of it was just. Then they went this back and forth.
From behind Mahomes, it looks even worse.
They started to get into officiating, and Joy was like, look, let's not act like Joe Burrow didn't have the ball with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, plus the two-minute timeout and two timeouts. Like, do you think if you gave Mahomes that similar situation, they would be going three and out? I just was like, see, all the whining we do back and forth. Like, players – they get it, man. They don't say stuff like that. They don't say, well, you called this and you didn't call this. And I get why fans do it, but you can't do that during the course of a game for 60 minutes. Like, I just, and the weird thing is I see like guys and gals in media like feeding it too, and I'm like, we're perpetuating madness. This is madness. Or is it Sparta?
Give them nothing.
Good call.
This is Sparta!
Boom.
Hey, it's Speak, by the way.
Stand and
the show. Speak or Speak About, something like that.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
With Shady and Acho and yeah. Joy.
And Shady, I don't always agree with him, but he does not hold back. Mm-hmm. And he's just not polished enough to be interesting. But yeah, the athlete on athlete, Staley just collecting bodies yesterday on social media. Hey, Thibodeau gives
putting them in a body bag.
Thibodeau gives zero cares.
Oh yeah, he's we knew that after his post game presser a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we knew that before the draft.
Well, yeah,
when his stock was supposed to drop because people didn't think he cared about sports.
Because I argued, what was it that he didn't know who the coach was?
Yeah.
On the other sideline?
Yeah, that he didn't know who Jeff Saturday was.
I'm like, stop it. You don't. And you
I went
actually,
to bat for Tibbs on
did,
that one.
You did.
Because
did
he's 21. He has no idea who Jeff Saturday is.
I'm like, come on. You know exactly.
No, he doesn't.
You know exactly who you're playing. That name popped up.
You and your snow angels.
I'll make snow angels all I want after my interception.
Yeah, so I, like, athletes are just, they're just over it. Usually you only see it in the NBA, like where they go back and forth with one another.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
But
don't see a lot regarding Major League Baseball or NHL.
Except for when guys get accosted over fantasy league debacles.
Like, no, that's when they throw punches on the field.
Because everybody chiming in over that. And, man, speaking of baseball, by the way, I have a bat and glove in the car.
Ooh. Yeah, you have a catch?
No, not exactly.
Thanks.
But how about Purdy having the torn UCL?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was afraid of that. I was afraid.
We'll get to our poll question, and we'll talk about the two new Lincoln coaches next.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show, 888-638-4876. If you'd like to get involved, 590 ESPN Omaha, 1480 ESPN Lincoln, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. Happy to have you with us as we are live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hale Varsity Club. Damon Benning, Andrew Rogers, and during the break, DB, we got our tweet regarding Alexa, and she responded back.
Yeah, I feel bad. Shane, am I best? Can we apologize to Ryan?
I'm so sorry.
It's not who I wanted.
Is that Tom Brady?
It's almost
but
like
that's so much better though.
It's almost like I didn't say in my best Tom Brady voice.
I think Shane's just calling Tom Brady a crybaby.
They were debating whether the Dolphins should pursue Brady, but I felt bad for Ryan because he said. Did I say jerks? Because I hope not, but he said.
No, I did. Because you said.
Yeah.
You said, hey, Alexa. Alexa, call Ryan a jerk.
You have several contact names. Ryan's a jerk. Which would you like to call?
Which is a great comeback. A fantastic comeback.
Dude, I'm telling you, though, Alexa is creepy. Or Siri. Or what,
either or.
Whichever one of you.
They're all listening.
So, my buddy, Oklahoma Tyler, my sous vide partner in crime, because he's into sous vide now. He was that one guy. You ever know this guy or gal that they downplay everything when you're doing it, but when they figure it out, it's like.
I do have one or
two like
of
those.
It's
like we discovered the 10th planet. So, you know, he has all this discretionary income, so my man just buys toys for the sake of buying it, right? So he knows I'm a cooking snob. So he got the green egg. This was years ago. This is probably 6-7 years ago, and he got the egg, and you know, he has these big 4th of July deals, and I was always particular about cooking, and he's like, I just put it on, set it, forget it, man. Once I get it to temp, it's too much work, right? He just wanted a good brisket, right? Now it's, hey, I got the sous vide. I'm like vacuum sealing just to be vacuum sealing. You should see my steak game. I'm like, bro, aren't you the guy that said food was overrated?
I've been telling you this for years.
You just eat for sustenance, right? You don't care, really? Oh, man.
He probably wrote the Bible, too.
So, yesterday, I was just messing with him. I showed him, like, these hacks that people are using instead of buying sous vides. They're, like, putting the things in dishwashers to simulate the same concept
of a
warm water bath. And he hit me back with haters gonna hate. I'm not hating. I'm a sous vide guy. Right? Like, we polish turds around here. We turn chuck steaks into fillets. You know what I mean? And he's just like, nah, he's like Chef Oklahoma Tyler, man.
You must feel personally attacked.
I do. That and the fact his son worked out on West Side the other night, so I'm still a little mad at him.
just salty a bit.
I mean, I was mad. I love Maul Jaw, but I don't like Oklahoma Tyler. Maul Jaw was like working out on West Side.
I
he
love
looked like Magic
fact.
Johnson out there.
That Shane laughs at his own jokes before we laugh. He played that, and he goes,
he's a child. He's a child. Don't make me go Joe Staley on you, Shane.
Oh, I needed a laugh today, though. That was good.
Our poll question of the day.
Shady McCoy roasting Acho was one of the funniest things I've seen. I'm not an Acho guy.
Oh, really?
I got to stop because there's plenty of people that don't like me, and that's fine, right? Like, I'm not – it's cool. Like, opinions make the world go round. So is it okay if I'm critical?
Yeah.
Okay. I just need a little verification because I'm insecure. You got my back?
Always. I got your six.
Okay. I do.
Hey, let's get to this.
Be elite.
I got you.
Hey. Can I just say this real quick?
It's your show, DB.
Dude, it's so crazy. So we were talking about, I don't even know why I'm telling you this except for, because you're going to feel for me because you go, man, we were talking about recruiting off air, all these other stories, right?
Yeah.
I tell you about all these weird things. You're like, man, this like affects your livelihood, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, people have no idea. Like, I just kind of keep it light. So yesterday we were talking about, you just said, I got your six. We have all these T-shirts, you know, West Side, the culture. And so we're in the kitchen and we were just talking about recruiting. And I was like, hey, so if you notice, you know, Caleb talked to you about recruiting. And he's like, I don't even like talking about recruiting. I don't talk about it with anyone. Like, that's what he said. Like, and, of course, I'm in the room, right? So he's talking to me too. And he goes, we were just talking about sayings and being authentic. And he goes, hey, I'm dead dog serious. I shouldn't even say this on a local radio station, but he goes, he's in the kitchen, and he goes, well, Coach Fleck, before the dead period, did send me a text talking about having an elite day. He asked me how my test went. And I go, did he say be elite? And Caleb goes, yeah, he said be elite. He goes, man, I love that guy. There was this awkward silence in the house where everybody was like.
Did he just say that?
Hey, Jay goes, we're not doing maroon and gold.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Yes. And what did he say?
Nothing. didn't want to get into it.
Tell me this because I need to know.
Oh.
Because most teenagers are the same. Is he a new person whenever the girl's in the house? Like,
no.
Does he try to be?
No.
We didn't see
different?
Him for 15 minutes.
He walked away?
He was downstairs.
He's yelling upstairs about all this stuff?
When she first got there for dinner, he was downstairs for 15 minutes before he even came upstairs.
And she was in the house?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He goes, what,
what a power move.
He goes, what were you guys talking about? And I go, oh, I can't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
He goes, sound like you're having a good time. What's up, Sophie? I was like,
you sound like you're having a good time. Hey, what's up, babe?
Oh, it's funny. It's funny you play Foreman too when I bring up PJ Fleck.
Oh.
You have no idea how funny that is.
Hey, let's get to this. Our poll question of the day.
Hey, Oklahoma Taylor said, man, I don't like you.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get to the poll question.
Hey, man, we have fun. And why is it so hot in here? God, it's like 98.
I'm sweating now. I pulled up my pants.
Okay.
From the bottom up.
Stop from the bottom.
From
now
the
you're
top.
Here. All right, Urkel.
Come on.
Who would the white Stephen Urkel be?
Did I do that?
Okay.
Ed Foley?
Yeah, my bad.
My coach told me to put a zipper in it.
Sorry, coach.
It's Tuesday.
All right, let's chill. Let's chill.
Come on, man. We're here for entertainment. Are you not entertained? Is that not why we are here?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Man, your head is in a tornado of thoughts. It's one thing after another. It's like, oh, it's coming out the right ear. It's coming out the left ear.
I'm still traumatized by the Be Elite thing.
Give them nothing!
Be Elite for a test.
Oh, all right, poll question.
You sure?
I'm ready.
We're good?
I'm ready.
This fits the mode.
I need to
this
take
fits the mode and the mood.
I need a drink.
Hey, our poll question of the day. Does Ed Foley make anyone else instantly think of Matt Foley?
Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker.
Yes or no? Does it make you think of Matt Foley? Because to me, it does.
What are you two in cahoots?
And I live in a van down by the river.
TV, I wish he would have got up to the podium and he played along with what everybody else was thinking.
I'm just telling you, he could run for, he'd win the election in our,
think about this. Coach
Foley could win the senior class president election in our school, at Westside. He's that well-liked.
Think about if he would have stood up in front of the podium. I'm going to stand up like you.
Did I do that?
And he's like, now you kids are probably asking, hey, Ed, how can Nebraska get back on track?
Okay.
Well, I'm bunking. I'm with you.
And I am a motivational speaker.
Because I'm tired of living in a van down by the river.
And I live in a van down by the river.
Well, he did have a nice little piece on Alvano, though, in the kicking game.
In all seriousness after that.
Just trying to land the plane.
What plane? I don't even know if the plane has wings at this point.
That's the one that Tattoo was on. Mr. Work. I don't think that would even be politically correct anymore. Could Fantasy Island, I don't know. Shane, I need a life preserver. Could Fantasy Island be on television today?
Well, I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah, you do have a job. That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
The show.
I mean, Tattoos are. He's not with us anymore, so he couldn't be on it, and neither is Mr. Rourke.
Chris P. on YouTube says, initially he reminded me of Gordon on Dodgeball. That's a good one, too.
It's hot.
More coffee and cream next.
Coffee. Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Coffee and Cream in the morning on Hale Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. We should start this thing over. We should do a whole new show.
Strictly here for entertainment.
We haven't done one thing of work. You know what our bosses are probably thinking about right now?
That we make them a ton of money.
Fair. Fair.
Okay.
I was thinking more, why did we put these two guys on air?
For a couple of guys that just do this little small show, cash register sure does cha-ching. Let's not get it twisted, fellas.
Hey, way to stand up for us.
Dude.
Was that a bike bell? Was that supposed to be a cash register?
It's old school. It's his Pee Wee Herman moment.
That's old school. That's what an old school cash register
sounds
like.
Wait till you see what happens if they try to put me in a polo. It'll be anarchy.
I can't wait for today.
Dude, I'm not golfing. Like, who? Like, what are we doing?
You didn't know we have a golf simulator.
What are we, 10? We dressing up for school pictures?
We have a golf simulator over at Herdat. That's what we're doing today.
Dude, by the way. What if I was good at golf? Would that be fantastic? Would we spend more time together?
Yes, because I would golf with you. However, I'm not very good at golf, so it works great.
Yeah.
I shoot about an 88 to a 92.
I should have stayed with my guys at Miracle Hill because they have a teacher whose style, Mike Favre, who, like, totally fit my style. He was patient. He knew I was special, so he'd, like, talk to me, like, on one knee. Like, gave me confidence. I need that guy.
Hey, I found your ball, DB. It's over here in the bushes. Hey, DB, you can play that. You can play that. You got out.
Why does it have to be a bad shot?
Oh, DB, hole in one.
See, you like the rest of these professional athletes. You're mad, too, on social media. Just telling me whatever it is that comes to mind.
I'm Max Homa for you.
Wow.
Have you ever seen him, his social media game?
Yeah.
Like, hey, he's a good one.
Hey, by the way, what's the narrative for the Super Bowl?
Is it the Kelsey brothers?
I think Andy Reid's coach. Hey, how many downloads?
Is it the Andy Reid Bowl? Is it the fact that the Chiefs are back again and nobody thought they would be?
Can I just say this, full disclosure? I think I can say this. Am I in the tree of trust? I'm about to go full Will Ferrell here.
Well, I'll tell you what. We already talked about SNL already.
As an African American, I think I count, right? Last time I checked. Can I just tell you, I'm not a huge fan of intertwining the significance of two black quarterbacks during Black History Month. Do you know why?
Hit me with it.
Because I think at some point you could recognize something's unique without and have it be a standalone deal without downplaying the significance, pitting it against something or with something else. It just happens to be February. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like
every year the Super Bowl happens in February.
I thought you were going to say every February is Black History Month. Right about now, Bill's probably like, we really wanted this guy.
Oh, now they're questioning it. After the first 38 minutes of the show, actually, I'm sorry, we're 47 minutes into the hour.
Chris knocks on Bill's door. He's like, hey, so.
Did you catch the show this morning?
You know all those business models we talked about? Yeah, I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze.
And he's like, what do you mean? We've had calls coming in all day.
Yeah, FCC on line one. No, I just, like, that's just not my thing.
I get what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? And so here's the deal. The players, the quarterbacks don't want to talk about that either. Because I'm usually, unless I have unique insight into, like, how I know a coach thinks, I'm usually going to give the player perspective. I'll try to give multiple, but ultimately, it's usually from a player's angle. They don't want to talk about it either because they've been one or two of two things their whole lives, black and quarterbacks.
Oh.
So the novelty of it for them
right.
has worn off. Now, that doesn't mean we can't recognize the significance. So hear my heart. I'm just saying the more there's like this fine line where you cross over. The less spectacular and less of an anomaly you make something, the more readily we'll become accustomed to it. Now, considering this is the first time, some of that is rendered a moot point. I guess I would mean going forward, because I would guess this won't be the last time it'll happen.
No. This is the start.
No, let's not say that, because there are a lot of folks that thought that they would get back to Super Bowls, and they're still waiting.
I'll tell you what. Anytime you get Patrick Mahomes, you'll find him in the Super Bowl.
Has Patrick Mahomes played in multiple AFC championship games? I'm just is this his third Super Bowl?
Second?
Is it his second? How do he's only 27.
He lost one, so third?
He lost one and won one.
So yeah. This is his third.
He's 27, and we're confusing the number of trips he's taken to play for a championship.
Why do you think he carries as much criticism as he does all the time? Because he is a product of his own success. He does so well each and every year that people
I guess I didn't realize how many critics he has.
Tons. And people don't like the best ones. They like the underdog, and they like a new thing. So because somebody's the best, they always are like, I'm tired of this guy.
So what is it that you don't think we like about Mahomes?
That he's always there. That's it. I don't think there's anything else that you dislike about the guy.
Shane, did we hate Brady?
Yes.
No, you do because of the Tuck rule, but
I think we do, but
I think Tom Brady has somehow crossed over
to the good guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think the Deflategate and other things that follow him.
See that's bad. That's bad. I don't want to jump all over you, but can we just admit that the Deflategate thing was nonsense? Like you don't think
the PSI and the balls were lowered?
I think it's overrated. I think that phenomenon is way overrated.
And it could be.
I really do.
All of that stuff sticks in people's minds. And so,
if you're petty.
But along those lines, because he's so good, because he was always there, people were tired of seeing him. People want the new. They want the fresh. They want to see something different. And that's the same thing with Mahomes. He's always there, which is great. Because it's going to make him a Hall of Famer someday.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. Like, we think he gets, like, preferential treatment and he's special. But he is a special talent. And if I remember correctly, take a stab at how many roughing the passers Patrick Mahomes had called on him all year.
What would be too high of a number?
Well, it's part of the game.
Let's see here. I'm going to say there's no way, but I'm going to say 11.
Two.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't get the whole preferential treatment thing.
But he also gets the ball out every single time, so that doesn't shock me.
Yeah, but it's not like he's treated differently. I mean, yeah, it used to get on my nerves with the no-look throws and the underhand stuff. But that says more about me than it does him, right? Like, I can realize if I'm being petty or kind of being a hater, yeah.
And how he, I guess, just carries himself throughout the game.
Yeah, I mean,
he's unique. He's fun to watch. People like that, but they liked it so early that now they feel like do you ever wonder if it's maybe Chiefs fans that they don't like and it's not Mahomes?
I could see that. I could totally see that. I worked with the most staunch of Chief fans. But he wasn't obnoxious, like no more than any other fan base. But why do Chiefs fans, I think, get a bad rap? They seem like they get a bad rap.
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we live in the Midwest, so we see a lot of Chiefs fans. But is Chiefs fans being passionate about their team any less of a
no, it's just
get on my nerves any more than how Vikings fans are total pessimists? Like, that's annoying, too.
All about people being salty that their team isn't the Chiefs.
JP said sports fans are the pettiest.
I get it.
Sometimes
JP.
You get a fan who doesn't necessarily know how to take the winning because maybe their team was so bad
for
so long.
It's just human nature.
And maybe when their team is winning, maybe they just come off as being, I don't know, a little bit arrogant or a little bit just, you know, over the top sometimes. Like if your team was just so bad from the mid-70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and then all of a sudden you got a great team, you know, they just sometimes a fan base doesn't necessarily know how to take that in stride.
Fickle people, Brian. See, he's Fickle People Brian on Twitter. He's out of breath, mm-hmm. Brian, for us. He says people are sick of Mahomes, Nebraska Furniture Mart commercials. But my buddy T-Mac, who's a diehard Texas fan, shout out to you, T-Mac, and your Longhorns getting the win last night at home against Baylor. He said his wife, wait, are they married now or is it still, they're married, right?
Who?
Mahomie and his.
Yes.
Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I think.
They are. He said the wifey and his brother hasn't done Mahomes any favors. But we got to be able to separate that, don't we?
Hey, you know how you said deflategate isn't a big deal? Yeah. What about banging trash cans in 2017? We're talking to Aaron Torres next.
Coffee and Cream on Hail Varsity Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
To within three is Western Kentucky, but Davis hits another three. Nellie Davis back-to-back triples. 44-38 Florida Atlantic. 14 and a half minutes left.
Here comes the double team. Edey passes out of it to Jenkins. Three on the way for David. In and out and in again. David Jenkins with his third triple of the game.
Armstrong looks for the inbounds baseline left of the basket. Has nobody to go to. Gets into the corner. Daniels just throws it up off the rim. Rebound taken by Dixon at the buzzer. He won't get it. Providence wins the game.
Hey, back with you, Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. He's Damon Benning. I'm Andrew Rogers. And happy birthday, Matt Rhule. It's Matt Rhule's birthday, the big boss over at Nebraska. Is he the big boss? Kind of.
I did say boss. He said I'm old. Get out of here.
Matt Rhule, happy birthday.
He's younger
birthday.
Than me.
What's he, like 38?
I think he's 46.
I feel like I guess
penguin?
38 because all of his coaches are about the same age, too. Before we move forward with Aaron Torres, we are looking to get him on the line right now. I want to take a moment to tell you about Dingman's Collision Center. What's that?
47.
47. Oh, that's his age. No, they've been in business for 25 years, DB.
25.
Yeah.
I meant 72 minus 47.
Oh, why are we doing math?
Because it's 25.
Okay.
I think. I got to ask Jamie. He's my math
Let's get consultant. Back to Dingman's here for a moment. They are family-owned, family-run local business here to work on your car and treat you, the customer, like royalty. And not only that, they treat other charitable organizations in town like royalty, too. They have a give-back program where you literally get to choose who you want to donate to after you take your car to Dingman's. It's a fantastic it's a fantastic way to stay involved with charitable organizations, but also for you to feel like you're doing something as well by taking your car to Dingman's. It's kind of it's a great formula for success. Ding. They work on all makes and models from Ford to Teslas, four locations throughout the metro area, along with that standalone mechanical shop at 120th and Maple. If you need help, go to Dingman's, dingmans.com. Let's get to Aaron Torres now. He's on line one. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
AT, what's up, buddy?
Not much. How we doing?
I'm good. I got to ask, man, because I follow you on IG religiously. When are we bringing back Hoodie AT?
You know, I did the picks for years, and the picks got cold, and so first I went hoodless AT, and listen, I can barely hear myself, or I'm hearing a crazy pushback, like when I call.
Maybe, Shane, can you help him with that echo?
I'm sorry to do this live on air.
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
You guys can call me back.
Yep, AT, we'll give you a call right back. Shane, see if we can grab him again. He's working with Betfred too. He's fantastic on Instagram, and I only follow 12 people, but he's one of them.
Instagram? You have an Instagram?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I don't do IG. I don't do it at all.
So how do you follow him? You made an account and you follow 12 people.
So I made an account when my kids were under 8. That's how old it is.
Really?
Yeah, I don't use IG at all, not even remotely.
Is it really that old?
I don't know. What do I look like? Social media maven?
You said under 8.
It's more yours, John.
You put a label. It's 2010, 12 years old. Is that under 8?
Yeah. So yes, Caleb would have been 5. That's right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was not 8 because
he was 2005. That was his birth year.
Yeah. Right there.
Man.
What?
I feel old, and I'm much younger than everybody else in this room.
I am, and I'm kind of offended because Coach Rule said he feels old. He's 1 year younger than me. I'm old.
Well, you feel old. That doesn't mean he can't feel old.
It's all relative. That probably wouldn't work in him.
So if you say you feel old and Matt Rule says he feels old, why can't you both just feel old?
That's a good point.
It's a great point.
Just to ask you, we can't, it's still too much feedback, Shano? We got him?
Aaron's back. Let's hear him. Aaron, welcome back, man.
Sorry about that, fellas. There was a bad, background noise, so I apologize for doing that live on air.
Oh, you're good.
I hope everybody's well, and to answer your question, when the picks get cold, you change up everything, and so the hood went hoodless, and then I went to no hood at all, and I'm still trying to get back on track. I had a really good year a few years ago, and, picks have been a little cold, but we'll see. We'll see, Andrew. We'll see.
Hey, so it's interesting, though, AT, because it's so topsy-turvy. We just saw last night, Texas Tech erases a 21-point deficit. Baylor finishes darn near right at the number. I think that was 4.5. How much of it has to do with the fact that Vegas is better, too? Texas Tech was favored last night.
I know.
Right?
No, it's crazy. And, what I would say, too, is I think because there's so much parity, from a gambling perspective, I think because there's so much parity, I don't ever remember for gamblers out there, I don't ever remember numbers moving the way that they have, because I think Vegas is mispegging them. There was, the Big 12 SEC Challenge was this weekend, and there were a few really good games. And just as an example, right? Kansas opens as a 1-point favorite against Kentucky. It's bet all the way to Kentucky -2.5, and then by tip off, it's about a pick 'em. Tennessee opened as a 7.5-point favorite. It was bet down to about 5 by the time of tip off on Saturday night. So I think what we're seeing, and listen, guys, anyone who's followed me has heard me say this, but I think most years when people say that the sport is wide open, I think that the narrative is largely not true. I think that for the most part, most years, you can probably whittle it down to about 4 to 6 teams that can realistically win it every single year. This year, though, guys, it is legitimately wide open, where even the teams like Purdue, like Alabama, like Houston, I think have pretty big flaws. It's going to make for a great NCAA tournament, but in terms of trying to figure these teams out on a game-by-game basis in the regular season, it definitely makes things much, much tougher.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio host Aaron Torres, with an underscore in the middle on Twitter. You mentioned the NCAA tournament. Stay right there, because this is something that always intrigues me at this point in the year. When you look at surprises, there's always one team every year come March. Last year it was St. Peter's. The year before that it was Oral Roberts. With being just over a month away before the start of conference tournament play, who would you currently say is your so-called favorite team to watch when it comes to making a deep run in the tournament?
Well, I don't think it's you know, it's a surprise. You know, first of all, I'll say right in your guys' backyard, I think Creighton, and I said this the other day after they beat Xavier, I think they're going to be completely misseeded. And, you know, I saw them on their trip out to Vegas this back in December where, you know, first of all, they played a brutal schedule. I mean, you guys know, but they went straight from Maui to Austin, three games in Maui to Austin. They come home for one game and then they go out to Vegas for two games. And then they have their Big East tournament Big East opener on the road. So, I mean, you have a seven, eight game stretch that's just brutal, but you lose six in a row, four of them without Ryan Kalkbrenner. So the record doesn't look good, but I think they're playing like a top 15 team in the country right now. So they're one that's not ranked, and they probably shouldn't be ranked, but, you know, I said it the other day, I think they'll probably end up in that 6-7-8 range and just be a team that absolutely nobody wants to play. And then, you know, it's a team that I know they're in the top 10 right now, so it's hard to be like, oh, you know, they're going to make a surprise run. But, you know, I do think Kansas State, I think because it's a first-year head coach, because it's a bunch of players who weren't there, I think people kind of have hesitations about them. I actually feel like it's the opposite. They have two, I think, really bona fide stars in Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson, two guys that can get you a basket when you need it, something that in March, you know, there's just going to be moments where you just need a player to take over, and they have two guys that can do that. And they do have players themselves on that roster with tournament experience. Desi Sills was part of Arkansas's Elite Eight team. Keontae Johnson has played tournament games before. So I know, you know, nobody, you can't call a top 10 team a surprise team or a dark horse team or whatever, but I do think there's something to them being, they're a great regular season story, but can they do it in March, first year head coach? Sometimes those teams flame out. I don't think Kansas State is built like that.
Let me ask you along those lines of maybe an off the radar team, because I typically think they're overvalued, and the Penny Hardaway factor sometimes reigns supreme with how he's recruited. But this year, I actually think they're kind of flying under the radar. The metrics don't always love them, but Kendrick Davis is arguably the best player in the country. Not enough hoop heads talk about, especially when I watch all the hype with Mitchell last night in Texas. I'm like, he's not even a best freshman on the floor. But neither here nor there. Let me stay right there with Memphis. Is this finally a year where because we've been burned, they're not getting kind of their due? Or is this a team that you still think is built on flaws?
Well, no, I actually agree with you on them, you know, and it's been talked about. If you watch Memphis at all, like, what I'm about to say is not a unique or original take, but, you know, Penny Hardaway, when he first got to Memphis, he said NBA background, we're going to be almost like an NBA, you know, minor league team, kind of like what Kentucky's done, what Duke has done, all that. And then he realized, like, hey, it's really hard to get 18-year-olds to play at the highest level. You know, it's really hard. You know, obviously when you have elite recruits, there's a lot of noise around them, you know, whether it's NBA draft stuff, whether it's agents, whether it's handlers, whether it's whatever. And this year he almost went the exact opposite. I mean, they have, I would guess, I don't know if this is for sure, but I would guess the oldest team in college basketball, where I think all five of their starters are either grad transfers, fifth-year seniors, or fourth-year seniors. It was funny, I flipped on their game the other day, and they said their five starters are seniors or above.
Yep.
And I said, I didn't know you could go above a senior. I didn't know. Maybe I missed something. That, you know, maybe we've changed how we're classifying people. So, you know, we're talking 23, 24, 25-year-old grown men in that lineup, especially because so many of these kids still have that COVID year available to them. And so I do think they're another team that's a great, great question on them, is that I think because they don't have that flashy one-and-done top 10 type pick on the roster like they have in the past, that they're probably getting a little bit overlooked. But I do think they're a really, really, really good team.
Speaking of another age team, a team with a lot of familiarity is FAU. And it started with Charleston. Now it's the Owls as the team that's kind of like, whoa, here they are. Watch these guys now. They can play basketball. But will the Owls end up being too good to be labeled a Cinderella team come the tournament?
Yeah, no, I mean, that tends to happen sometimes, guys, and I know you know this, but, like, you know, a team is so good that – you know, they get seeded as a, and I just for the record, I don't tend to look at a ton of bracketology this time of year because stuff changes so much. So that's not a knock to Joe Lunardi or anybody who works really hard on that stuff. So I don't know where FIU is bracketed, but, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, but in some cases you sometimes get like a tougher draw the better you are, right? So I actually think like Memphis is a great example of that last year is, you know, they by the end of the year, they were playing like a top, frankly, like a top 10, top 12 type team. I think there were metrics with Memphis last year where they were like a top five team in the country over the final month of the season. They end up playing their way all the way to the 8-9 seed line, which sounds like a great thing. Then all of a sudden they had to play Gonzaga in round two. And so again, I haven't looked at a ton of bracketology in terms of where a Florida Atlantic would be. But you start to look at a team like that. If they all of a sudden get on the 8-9 line, just as an example, you got to play a number one in round two, or you get up to a seven seed and you're playing a two seed in round two, where sometimes, you know, you end up on that 12 line. Yeah, you got to play a five, but you're playing a five and a four, which are two fringe top 25 teams to get to a Sweet 16. So, you know, FAU, it has been a great story. Dusty May's obviously done an incredible job with that group. But to your guys' point, I think it's a great question, is sometimes you can be too good for your own good during the regular season. And I'll be curious to see if that's reflected when the bracket ultimately comes out here in a couple weeks.
Aaron, let me ask you about a team who the metrics like, even though they're only 6-3 against quad one teams. They're led by a freshman, and I'll get your thoughts on Brandon Miller here in a second. And maybe it's me, so I'm willing to have you talk me through this. Their style of play lowers my trust level, even though the numbers say they got a chance to be pretty good. Is it fair or foul that Alabama's style of play lends itself to being not a very trustworthy team late in March?
Well, I think the difference this year with Alabama, and I keep saying this, and if anyone's ever heard me in a different interview, I apologize because I've said this for about a month now, guys, is that, you know, I think because Nate Oates is kind of known as the new age three spacing, you know, shots at the rim kind of guy, that, you know, I think because he's that guy, he's known as that guy. I don't think people realize Alabama is playing great defense this year. They're an elite defensive team, according to the numbers, great rebounding team, great shot blocking team. And those are the kinds of things that translate to March. Now, my concern with them is, you look at Alabama, is that three of their top four scorers are freshmen, and the fourth guy in that top four is a transfer from the MAC. And so you guys know how March is. You get in a one-and-done setting, everybody could say they're ready, this, that, the other thing, but until you're there, it just makes it really, really, really tough. So, you know, the style of play doesn't bother me as much, guys. I don't think they're as reliant on three-point shooting as they have been in the past. You know, this year especially, they're great at the rim with Noah Clowney and some of the big guys down low. But you put a starting lineup that at times, or really a rotation that has four freshmen and a transfer who's never played in the NCAA tournament out there, you know, they're going to look really great some nights. And then, you know, what do they do when they're in that one-point game, one-possession game with under a minute to go? I think they're one of the more fascinating teams to follow because I think as good as they are, I could also see them flaming out early because they're just so young. Talented, but really young.
You know, keeping it in line with Bama here, we ask ourselves every week, if there's another team that's in Tier 1A next to Purdue, and recently it was Alabama, and most weeks we have an answer. But after that loss to Oklahoma, it almost seems as if Purdue is finally standing alone. That's not to say that you don't see another team up there. And if you do, tell me, because I would like to know if there's another team that you would pool in the mix of 1A, that top team in all of college basketball, truly above everyone else, or if it's just Purdue.
No, I think it's just Purdue right now. And even Purdue, I mean, you know, listen, the Big Ten's a grind. I know they don't always perform well in the tournament, the Big Ten as a whole, but that's a really tough conference to, you know, to go on the road and win games in. I mean, I was talking to Robbie Hummel about this yesterday on his show, but, you know, this isn't, and listen, I live in Pac-12 country. I love Pac-12 country, but you guys know the Big Ten. I mean, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin, you know, Purdue, Indiana. I mean, you're talking about 10, 12, 15, 18,000 people every single night when you walk in a road venue. So I want to give Purdue the credit they deserve. But even them, you know, two freshman guards in their lineup, that concerns me a little bit as well. You know, the team that, guys, I'm starting to get intrigued by, but, you know, they have a they have a history of certainly letting us down, is the Tennessee Volunteers. And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, they check all the box. First of all, great win against Texas the other night. They check all the boxes of older, veteran, been there before. But then also on top of that, you know, they really, you know, they're ranked whatever they are, fourth, fifth in the country this year. They are really now just starting to get healthy, right? So they beat Texas the other night. They have a kid named Olivier Kongwa, has 22 yeah. points. He tore his ACL around this time last year and is just now getting back to who he was, averaging about, you know, double figures at this time last year. Josiah Jordan James is a fourth-year senior that's just getting back healthy after missing about 6 weeks to start the season. So, you know, Tennessee is intriguing to me as a potential upper-tier team, but they're also a team that's never done it before, right? Like, it's hard to say, like, this is a team I feel great about penciling in to go to the Final Four when literally they've never been to the Final Four in school history. So, you know, they're one that I think could get there. But again, you know, how excited can you be when they've never done it? But you know, I do think right now it's Purdue. But even Purdue, like I said, freshman guards, great story. But even them, I have some questions about in the bigger picture.
Yeah, let me ask you, because you are in Pac-12 country, and they drive me crazy because they make these runs, and the personnel is relatively the same. But then I watch them against Arizona, and I watch them against SC, and I'm like, why does UCLA drive me crazy? They got all – seemingly all the parts. I'm hoping Tiger Campbell settles into the role that they're going to utilize him in. I know Cronin wants him to score more. He hasn't played as many minutes. But when you look at UCLA, or maybe I just ask about the Pac-12 as a whole, who's the best team in the Pac-12?
It's a great question. I don't think there's an obvious answer. Well, I do think there's an obvious answer. I do think it's UCLA.
Okay.
Which, again, speaks to this college basketball season, because UCLA is currently on a two-game losing streak to the two best teams of the conference, right? They lost, you know, at Arizona a few Saturdays ago and then at USC the other night. I still think it's UCLA, but what I will say about UCLA, and we just talked about injuries with Tennessee and this and that, is that, you know, they have a freshman named Amari Bailey. I think he's kind of important to what they do because, you know, they have guys that can get the job done kind of in the half court and in the you know, in the flow of a game. But again, it comes down to sometimes in March, you just need a guy that can go get you a basket. And I still think he's that kid that can do that, Amari Bailey, the freshman who's been kind of in and out of the lineup. And so I'm still a believer in them. They're another one that check a lot of boxes, veteran team, guys that have obviously had tournament success. You mentioned Tiger Campbell is a veteran guard who's just been in so many big games. Jaime Jaquez has been in so many big games. But I do worry about, you know, I do just want to see them get healthy before I get too excited. And then also, they, you know, they kind of got to start winning some of these games,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they obviously, they lost, they're probably their two biggest out-of-conference games. And as I said, they've lost their two biggest in-conference games so far this year. But they're one that's very intriguing to me. I would say I actually think Arizona's a little bit more frustrating to me because they're another one. They can go on a 14-0 run and look like the best team in the country, and then all of a sudden you look up and it's a two-point game, you know, against Washington State or Oregon or something with 2 minutes to go. So I think the Pac-12, I think there's a lot of question marks there. But I would also say, you know, and I think it's the theme of the conversation, guys, I think there's a lot of question marks basically across all of college basketball right now.
Got about 2.5 minutes here, Aaron. I want to ask you about a team in the Big East not named Creighton, because Creighton started the year as the preseason favorite, and then they kind of dropped off. But then there was a team that was at the bottom of the pack to start the year, and they've just been continuing to rise over and over and over again this year, and that's Marquette. They were preseason ranked ninth, finishing ninth in the Big East, and now what are they, like 14th
They're
in the
an
nation?
Offensive machine.
The big knock on them was they lost their key leading scorers from last year coming into this year. But what is it about this team that makes them so special, so good this year?
You guys are asking a lot of great questions, and they're one of the teams, they're one of my just favorite teams to just watch in general. Listen, guys, it's cliche, and if you hear people talk about college basketball and Marquette specifically, but, you know, Shaka Smart goes to Texas, and, you know, he had great success at VCU, goes to Texas, and listen, guys, I know you guys talk a lot of football. We know it's just, it's a little different in Texas. You know, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of people that maybe don't have a ton of experience running a program telling you how that you how you should be running your program. And so, you know, he kind of was essentially forced out of there. You know, he wasn't fired, but he kind of actively just kind of looked for another job. And I just think he got a fresh start where he's able to do it his way. Sign the guys that he wants to sign, play the style that he wants to play, and they're just fully bought in, and they play so hard on both ends of the court. I think I said this, but they're one of my favorite teams to just watch in general. And they're not filled with five stars, but they put so much pressure on you defensively, so much pressure on you when they have the ball offensively. And they're one that I'm really, really intrigued by because, you know, last year they got off to a really hot start, and then by this time they started to flame out a little bit. They're one that, you know, maybe isn't on the radar of people right now, but, you know, would it surprise me if they ended up as a two or a three seed and making a deep run? It wouldn't. Again, I just want to see it because last year they kind of were on a similar trajectory and flamed out, but they're one of the best stories, and I think what it comes down to is, you know, the cliche in college sports of having the right coach and a bunch of guys that believe in what he wants to do as a head coach. Everybody's aligned in that program.
Aaron, we appreciate
always
it, man.
So
thanks
good,
so
AT.
Much. We need to talk again soon.
No problem, fellas. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your patience. Sorry about the technical difficulties early, but excited about it.
Hey, thanks for working with us. We appreciate you. Scott Ritchie, up next.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
Timmy Allen, the 6'6" senior, preseason all Big 12 team. Shannon pulls up three, and it's good. 73-70 Illinois.
Carter Gilmore out of pick of Sejan, trying to get free. The freshman in the lane. Bad pass. Stolen by Shannon. Hello. Slam dunk. Shannon with the slam. And it brings the State Farm Center crowd to its feet. The sellout, 15,544.
Nebraska takes on the Fighting Illini tonight at 6 o'clock. That game in Champaign, always a tough place to play. It's Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. He's Damon Benning. I'm Andrew Rogers. We are live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hail Varsity Club. We'll continue talking about this game and the Illinois Fighting Illini right now with Scott Ritchie, Illinois men's basketball and football for the News Gazette. Scott, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, Scott, Illinois is heating up at the right time. You know, the Illini have won six of its last seven, which is probably good because I don't know how many more years Brad Underwood could have afforded knocking off his life with how frustrating things have been in the early going. So what really sparked this turnaround for this team?
Well, I think it was Brad Underwood's willingness to scrap everything he was doing offensively and defensively, and start over during the season. And I don't know how many coaches might be willing to do that, but on offense, you know, they moved from, and they still run a little bit of five out, but they've gone back to his spread offense, you know, running it, you know, through the high post, and defensively moved on from switching everything to basically the defense they ran last year, you know, with Dane Danger and the Kofi Coburn role, you know, and drop coverage, and it's worked. It took a little bit of time maybe to make that adjustment, but, you know, the defense in particular has been much better, maybe more consistent, and, you know, doing enough offensively, you know, to make it work.
Yeah, I want to stay right there with Dane Danger because I think, listen, I get it with Trace Jackson Davis and Edie. There are a lot of bigs that folks talk about other than Dane Danger, and it's not necessarily any one particular eye-popping stat other than maybe his blocks per game, but he seems to be so integral to what Illinois does when they're going well. What are we missing statistically when we talk about the value of Dane Danger?
Well, it's interesting because he played 9 minutes of college basketball at Baylor before transferring to Illinois, and you know, the coaches spoke highly of him, you know, in the off season, that, you know, he could be a big part of what they wanted to do. It took some time to get there, but I mean, I think it's just he does a little bit of everything. Like, and he's better defensively than I think maybe you know, anyone expected. He's just got those long arms that certainly help him. And I think on the offensive end, he's sometimes gets maybe a little overconfident and tries some moves he shouldn't, but he's nimble. He's a good passer. They can run things through him in the high post.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all these little things that sort of add up to him being this key cog where, I mean, I'm not sure anyone outside of Champaign would have anticipated that.
You know, speaking of another key cog, it's the same thing with Matthew Mayer. I mean, you look at him and how he started
starting
the year.
Starting to get it going, maybe.
He points just weren't there. Minutes were. And they started, you know, limited, but, you know, now it's starting to really accrue. He's starting to play close to 30 minutes a game on most nights. I mean, what about him and his ability to step up for this team? Because for the longest time, it was Terrence Shannon. For the longest time. And then Danger got involved a little bit. But now Mayer's really started to make his presence known.
Well, I think this is the Matthew Mayer that Illinois was hoping it would get. You know, just, you know, playing a bigger role, you know, maybe more prominent role than he did at Baylor, where it's fairly egalitarian. It's like everyone's just kind of equal.
It's a great word.
There's no true stars. Although Keontae George maybe this year is a little bit, but it took him some time. You know, this season, yeah, he didn't get to Champaign until sort of mid-July, so he missed a lot of that summer where he could have, you know, gotten into a rhythm with his new teammates, you know, gotten used to Adam Fletcher, you know, as a strength and conditioning coach, and, you know, a back injury then, you know, limited him even more when he got to campus and then through sort of that early fall. So he just wasn't in, you know, the best shape, best basketball shape, at least. But you know, over the last, I guess it's been, 10 or 11 games at this point, like, I think he's playing up to the potential that everyone maybe thought he had when all those, you know, offseason, you know, these are the best transfers lists had him, you know, certainly near the top. And no one maybe has more confidence in Matthew Mayer than Matthew Mayer. And like, I think he showed that Saturday against Wisconsin in the second half, he just kind of took over.
I'm going to take advantage of your crossover here in a second and get to football. But let me ask you one more thing about the game tonight, just because it's fresh in my mind, because he killed Nebraska the first time around. I think he went 12-5. He shot over 50% from the floor. Kind of a pogo stick, too, in Coleman Hawkins, who is a good defender. He's rebounded the basketball well in conference. He kind of gives a nice little wing stopper presence. How has he been able to kind of evolve and fit in as you're trying to work? You got a bucket getter, you got a guy in the post, you got a shooter. What's Coleman Hawkins for Illinois?
He's kind of everything, and I think that's how he fits on this team, is he can do basically everything on the court and doesn't have to be, sometimes doesn't try to be, you know, this go-to scorer, although he could be that too. Like, he's a good shooter, at times needs to be more aggressive, and he frustrates the fan base because he doesn't score, but he does not frustrate Brad Underwood because he does everything else. He rebounds, he's a good passer, he's unselfish, you know, he defends and can defend a lot of positions. I think just he's this sort of, you know, just maybe perfect fit next to, you know, the other guys that he's out there with.
Okay, so we're kind of describing it, right? I talked about the bucket getter. That's Shannon. Danger is kind of that guy in the post. You're getting good shooting now from Maddie. You have Coleman Hawkins. When you look at this team's makeup relative to some other Brad Underwood teams that have maybe underwhelmed in March, do you like these pieces?
Yes. I mean, I think they have the talent, and maybe, you know, when you look at the tournament and what's hurt them is you've been, you know, trying to both slow down your talented, like, bigger guards and wings, and then also maybe just not having, you know, enough of that. But they have those pieces now. I wonder, you know, at the lead guard spot, you know,
yeah,
it's freshman.
Yeah.
But Jaden Epps seems to be settling into that role more, and his playing time has ticked up. Yes, he's kind of asserted himself as that guy. I mean, he's another guy that can, you know, go out and, you know, get buckets. But the tournament's such a crapshoot. Obviously hasn't gone Illinois' way the last couple years for a variety of reasons. I mean, I think they have the talent to make a run this year, but I don't know, this year in college basketball has just been so wildly outrageous at times that who knows how the tournament's going
to
go.
We're talking to Scott Ritchie, Illinois men's basketball and football for the News Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at SRRitchie. Changing gears quickly here to football. Got about 2 minutes here, Scott. Illinois bringing back Ward from K-State now. I mean, he was the running backs coach at Illinois for a few years back around 2016 to 2018. And then, you know, he's had 20 years coaching experience throughout, but he's coming back over from K-State, a program that was so successful last year. Now he coached wide receivers, coming back to coach running backs. How impactful can he be once again for this Illinois program?
I mean, I think that was an important hire for Brett Bielema, and mostly because Thad Ward is a recruiter, and yeah, he needed and Bielema needed a strong recruiter to replace Corey Patterson at running backs coach, because you know Corey was a really good recruiter. Thad obviously has a ton of experience, has experience in Champaign, has experience in the state of Illinois, and you know that's been a central focus for Brett Bielema since he was hired, was recruiting the state of Illinois better. Thad worked at Western Illinois for 6 years, and then he was at Northern for three before his stint here at Illinois. So, I mean, I think it's a good hire. It's an interesting one, that he's coming back on a entirely new, coaching staff. But, I mean, I think the recruiting piece, it was big. And then he's going to, the running back room, there's, a question there because Chase Brown is gone, and he was the guy, for the better part of 2 years. And someone's going to have to step up, but, Thad's going to have some options, to work with there.
Scott, quickly, we saw Harbaugh do it with quarterbacks and transfers early without developing his own. You've got two in Altmyer and Card. Sustainable?
I mean, I don't know if it's sustainable, but I think that's the way it's going to work. I mean, I wonder what the value is in recruiting high school quarterbacks anymore. Because there's going to be options in the portal every year. And if you can get a guy with a little experience and bring him in and give him a bigger role, that could be good. We'll see.
Scott, we appreciate
Great
it. Thanks
stuff,
so much.
Scott. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Joel Lorenzi up next.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
We are back to close down the show with Joel Lorenzi. I know we said we'd talk a little NHL, which we didn't end up getting to,
That's your fault.
Take that to Morning Dumb. How is that my fault?
Because you're not making a big enough stink to the bosses about you want all the time in the world. Do they not know that you want a 24-hour show?
Yes, this is only me.
Nobody can
this
get the bill
is
like
totally
you.
Totally on me.
You guys are practically like in cahoots.
We are. I feel like we're more in cahoots, though.
It's all right. I'll work on.
We're a team.
That's all right. I'll work on Chris. He's aggressive. I'll go get the aggressive guy.
Well, we will add all of that conversation to Morning Dump. We'll also talk a little bit about that new bill that I wanted to get to. Speaking of bills. But right now, I want to get to Joel Lorenzi. He's on the phone. Joel, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Joel, I'm just happy that you get to us every Tuesday morning, because I feel like, we make it tough on you. So I just want you to know we appreciate you. And you still have one of the greatest voices for radio. It's like,
You think so? Seriously?
It's kind of smooth. Listen, I like different, and it's low. It's kind of grovelly. It sounds like we just got you out of bed. And we just roll, man. Like, natural is good. I'm team all natural. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that, because I've never heard anything like that. Honestly, I'm sticking to the newspaper.
Hey,
I might gun for your job now.
Hey, yeah, listen, yeah, I'll place.
Listen, I'll share. We can share. I can't write for beans, but
I can't read.
I can't read.
Y'all got a third chair in there?
I'm not
hitting it. Set up for you right now.
Yeah. Listen, let me ask
Come on
you.
In.
I was messing with my partner in crime. We were at the game together, and I kept messing with – I'm joking with him that Ryan Nemhart has the best one-hand finishes in the paint. I need to do some statistical work. But their two-point field goal percentage has gone up markedly, right? I was talking about Matt DiMarina's tweets a couple days ago talking about Kalkbrenner. Creighton's guards. When's the last time do you remember guards finishing around the 10 the way that Creighton's guards finish in the paint?
Yeah, no. Well, to your first point, I think Nembhard, when he was in his funk, the shots you saw him hit the other day, they weren't falling, so people were very critical of him. And now it's like I thought it was impressive, especially, I mean, Xavier's not no overbearing defense. But still, they got two bigs around the rim usually. And for him to penetrate the way he did and show off his burst often, I thought it was encouraging for him, especially after the stretch he had for a few games, you know, a couple weeks ago. But in terms of the guards getting around the rim, yeah, I, like you said, and you know, going back to DiMarinas' tweet, because we were talking about this yesterday, it's just the Kalkbrenner effect, man. Dude, it's so much unlocked when he's on the floor. And just even, you know, him just being out there, I think Sean Miller was very complimentary of him. Him just being out there, both on defense and offense, it does so much for Creighton. And on offense, teams are just scared of it. Every twitch of his muscle, and it just gives dudes lanes.
You know, Joel, as I reflected on that win, I listened to what Coach Mack had to say, and the quote I took away was, "We're not the same team that we were in Maui," which, you know, makes me think that, wow, they must have taken a step up because, you know, they were great when they were in Maui. But, you know, then I started hearing different claims about identity and like, oh, they finally got back to it. But, you know, I told DB yesterday, I'm like, I think they have the same identity. I don't think it's a new identity. I think they just have an enhanced version of what their identity was because of all of the adversity that they had had to fight through to get to the point they are in the season. But how would you attribute what is happening right now within the program in regards to identity? Would you say it's there, they got it back, it's the same as it once was, or it is this new enhanced identity?
No, I agree with you. I think they're better now because of what they went through. And I think Mac went on to say that, you know, this team now is better than the team in Maui because of the same reason, because things they've gone through, you know, back in Maui. Even though they had that rough game Thomas to open the season, didn't know yet that they weren't the best shooting team in the Big East. Like we didn't know yet that they were games they could shoot themselves out of. Like we didn't know that was possible. And in Maui, they shot the skin off the ball. For the most part. And so looking back then, as well as they played, I think the way they carried themselves, what they had faced to that point, they hadn't seen anything yet. So I think they're really humble their game losing streak and really saw that despite the preseason ranking, the thing wasn't going to be handed to them. And so I think after all, they're a new team, and you know, in recent weeks, they found ways to win games without the three having a necessary fall. And then against Xavier, it all came together on both.
Joel, it's interesting. I watch Mac close. I'm a big body language guy, and it's my favorite part of how he interacts with his players. He sat Kaluma early before the TV timeout, and he sat him for a minute. It wasn't just, hey, come see me, we'll see you after the break. And it seems like I'm watching their vibe and their body language. He has full control of this team again in terms of what he wants and what he expects. And I watch guys nod their head in feedback and listen and make eye contact. Was that part of it, him? And by him, I mean Coach Mack learning to reset expectation with bona fide superstars. It's not just Kaluma. It's a talented team. But it seems like he's reestablished that he's Coach Mack, and they're going to play a certain way.
Maybe. I think I don't think he ever really had to reset expectations, because I think while the outside views, expectations might have shifted, and a lot of viewers might have had to accept that on the way we view certain at least during the middle of the year. We had, I think, be patient with a lot of guys. I think Matt upheld the same expectations. And so I think it was just a lot of reassurance along the way. That's probably why I think most of these guys were able to find their rhythm and are comfortable in their role and comfortable with each other. And you can see that, especially with a guy like Kaluma, man. He's been in the corner since the new year. And I think part of that was just, like I mentioned, all these dudes being fooled, and having a faith that they come around and then have, you know, Max reassurance along the way. It makes it sound back.
Joel, we talked to Aaron Torres earlier on in the show, and he mentioned Creighton and how they could be kind of a sneaky surprise team.
You thought they'd be misseeded.
Yeah, misseeded once the brackets officially came out. How do you think other teams are assessing Creighton right now in the Big East? And do you believe with the momentum they're carrying, I'm going to go back to now John Fanta from a couple of weeks ago, a Big East title could be in their future?
Yeah, I think obviously that's the popular opinion, right, that they're going to be probably the scariest upset that I could think of in recent memory if they do end up being an 8-seeder or higher. But at this rate, with games they're winning, if they keep winning like this, because it seems like they're hitting their stride right now, I don't know how long we'll be in the conversation. I don't think they can stay a mis-seeded team forever, right? I think this season goes well for them. I think we're talking about a 4 or 5, maybe at worst a 6. If we really just care enough and really see that 6-game streak a blemish, but I don't think they stay projected at 8 or 9 or 2. Right? But that seems ridiculous at this point.
Something or nothing. Back-to-back games with all 5 scores in double figures, and I get the offensive efficiency. It was immaculate, but we already talked about St. John's nor Xavier defensive-minded ball clubs. But Xavier only turned the ball over 9 times. Sule Boom, only 1 field goal. Fremantle was one of only 2 guys to shoot over 50% from the floor. Are we discounting Creighton defending as part of this run?
What you mean discounted?
Well, it doesn't seem like we're talking about them defensively enough.
No. Well, if you read my work.
I do. No. I'm validating Joel Lorenzi is what I'm doing.
Call him out.
I think it's been easier maybe to point at, especially in that Xavier game, the defensive job, because I think the consistent scoring across the board, it's sustainable at this point now. All those guys average double figures. I think it's been more efficient and, you know, it's seen easier in recent games because I think they just know how to play together now and they know each other's spots, whatnot. But the defensive end was so good. I mean, that's the only reason they spanked Xavier the way nobody has yet. If Sule Boom even gets off for 10 points, that's probably a different game. Nobody has defended him that way, so it's made for that.
Joel, you're the best, man. Appreciate your time. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
At JX Lorenzi on Twitter. He's the Creighton beat writer for the Omaha World Herald. That'll do it for today's show on Coffee and Cream, but stay tuned because tomorrow we have a lot more in store. We're headed over to your favorite podcast platform for Morning Dump now.